Those are all wonderful things that we can use with others, you know, and we're visiting with other people that you don't have a, you really don't know very well. You can start asking them things, just like when Leonard would do with us, with every one of us. You know, would he talk to you and say, well, what's Jesus talking to you about? And, boy, you're on the spot. And he'd draw it out of you, and he'd visit with you about it. And that, those kind of things were telling about him and where he had these insecurities that I know most people have not a clue where he had fears, things like that, and how he prayed about them. He also, this is another, I'm going to tell a story on him. When I came to the Lord, I was really going to hell in style. So, I mean, I was not, my conscience had not been very clear or clean. And for me to know a man who was innocent, or what I, one day he said to me, do you think I'm naive, Davey? And I had to say, well, Leonard, yeah. I think you are naive about some things in this world. Really? Like what? And I'm like, ooh, I want to lie. I don't want to tell him the stuff that I, well, like what? Like what? And I used to like to take him to my favorite Hawaiian restaurant down at Pacific Beach. It's the Kind Plate Lunch. And we'd go down there. And some of the girls, they'd flirt with him. They would flirt with him. And then we went down to this Motu Hawaii down below where that place is. And I'd get my Hawaiian cracked seed candies and things. And one of those gals really came on to him. And he was clueless that she was coming on to him. He was clueless. And I'm like, I'm embarrassed, you know, and I'm thinking, oh, man, you know, this is going on here. And Leonard was just clueless. And we get outside, and he says to me, my, wasn't that a nice young woman? And I'm like, girl, I lied. I said, oh, yeah. I did. I lied. But later on, he said, well, like what? And I had to tell him, well, like that. You were naive. You know, to me, what a delight to meet someone who was, in so many ways, innocent of the evil things in this world. You know, none of that stuff ever seems to escape me. I'm aware. I'm aware. But he was like just innocent of it. It wasn't something impacted him or he cared about or all that. But you know, he prayed for people that would mace him. He walked the life. He walked the life. And he was insecure. And he was victorious. And he could deliver the gospel, the word that really fed, because it imparted out of his life. You know, when he shared messages so very often, you never did see his notes. I did. I saw a lot of his notes that he did when he brought messages. There was tears all over those papers. You know, he really apprehended things out of heaven to bring them to us. But you'd never see it in the note, or you wouldn't even see that he'd have notes. You know, he'd go on, and he was a Mr. Concordance, you know. You know, I was struggling, and I couldn't even remember where some things are. And, you know, but he'd have it cold. So, you know, I wanted to share some of that intimate things, what he was like inside, and where what he was insecure about. But it all the more just revealed to me the man of God. The real man of God. And I will be forever grateful. You know, this kind of, I don't know, anybody here that kind of felt like he was a father to you, why don't you stand up? Some of you younger guys, you felt, you know, they're like a grandpa. Incredible, huh? Incredible. Thank you, Lord. We honor, we just recognize him.
There's a lot of you who don't know me. 5 years ago, I was in a severe automotive crash. My neck was broken, my spinal cord was crushed. They gave me a 99% chance of spending the rest of my life in a wheelchair. I did make it to where I was walking with no braces, no crutches, anything. And I had a complete relapse to the wheelchair. And it was Leonard who got on the phone and figuratively kicked me in the butt and said, God is using you. Don't fight it, embrace him. And as soon as I did, I started to get out of the chair. And my life has been completely different ever since.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
And he's just been a friend, somebody that I could call and talk to, and he'd help me pray about things when I was lost.
Watch
you
how to pray.
Yeah. Let's stand together. Jeff, we're going to have a few songs to close with. Leonard were here, he would say, let's worship. That's what we'll go right back into. So, Jeff, would you like to lead us?
While Cheryl's coming forward, we have selected two songs. Any of them would have worked, because we all know how deep a worshiper the Brother Leonard was and is. But we selected two that we felt were special. So we'd like you to stand with us if you can. If you cannot, feel free to sit. To just enjoy the presence of the Lord and expressing your love to the Lord and our thankfulness. We've had the privilege of knowing our dear brother Leonard. Leonard's echoing of the glory of the Lord. And all of us will always hear that in our ears. Glory to the Lord.
Yes.
Glory of His presence. Those words will always echo in our hearts. And He certainly is in the presence of the Lord right now. In the great glorious cloud of witnesses. Great patriarch. This final song, I think, represented really the cry of his heart. This kingdom, Jesus Christ, God, the righteous one, revealed. Join with us, would you please, in singing this great song of victory, Kingdom of God.
I'm Len's sister Lee from Calgary, and I think there's one thing that I really need to point out. Len always used to make his base of ministry in Edmonton for years. Like, he would go up the East Coast there, like the charismatic movement had a lot of cell groups and so on, and he'd be teaching and preaching. Edmonton was always his base. Then he worked out of Tyler, Texas, and out of Albuquerque. And then eventually he came to San Diego. And something happened. There was a shift. I mean, he was still always coming home every year, visiting his parents, visiting us. We live in Calgary, they live in Edmonton. It's 200 miles apart. But it began to be that he came to visit us in Edmonton, but he wanted to go home to San Diego, whereas it used to be the other way. And this Living Springs Church just embraced him, and he felt like he'd come home, and this is where he was going to stay. And we started talking to him about retirement. I mean, you should come back to your roots when you retire. There are advantages to being Canadian, and you should start making some plans. Well, that fell on deaf ears. He was not going to retire in Alberta. San Diego was home. And so I just have found it so special to be here and to hear the stories and to meet this awesome family at Living Springs, and then Dave and Cindy, who he was part of their family too, and it's just been really special for my husband Bill and me to be here. God bless all of you. And then the lady who, Nancy, did those flowers, I want to thank her too, if she doesn't happen to be here. Thank you.
I wanted to share something that I thought would bless you all. I had a wonderful 3 days with Len before he went to the hospital. And I got to be more intimate with him than I ever had been. I mean, I'd always had him over for dinner and we always, you know, hugged, and it was wonderful. And I got to just interact with him on a really wonderful spiritual level. And we talked about spiritual things, and he always asked me what was going on with my life. You know, it didn't matter that I was, you know, a woman and a housewife. He wanted to know what God was doing in my life, which I had plenty to say, you know. And he always listened to me and let me share as well, and I love that. But you might be asking, well, did Leonard know that he was dying? And the last time that he came over for dinner, as he was leaving, he said, "I don't know why I'm still here." He said, "I can't do anything." He was so weak. He was getting so weak. And we tried to explain to Len that as long as he was here, it was who he was that was so important to us. It wasn't that he could do anything. He just, his being who he was impacting our lives. And we shared the different ones that loved him and felt like he was so important to them. Then when he came to our house, he made a couple really funny comments. You know, he's very weak, but he wondered if his car was there. And we said, "Yes, Len, look, there's your car." And he said, "I need a new chariot." And and he wasn't talking about the car. He was talking about his body. And then we were having dinner one night, and he said, I had brought in some roses from my rose garden, and I had let him smell them, and I said, "You know, Len, aren't they wonderful?" He said, "Oh, they're beautiful." He said, "But they quickly pass away." And so these little comments, I was kind of ignoring them, you know. But and then the last day that he was at our house, he was very weak. He was having breakfast that morning. We'd taken him to the doctor the day before, and then this was the next day. And we had an intercessory burden come over the phone about a 4-month-old baby who had cancer. And so I said, I told it to Len. He was so weak, you know, that he barely could make it back and forth from the bed to eat and then go back to bed again. But he just began, I think that was the last time I heard that booming voice, "Oh God," and he just began to pray. He prayed for that baby. And so I put him to bed, and I said, "Len, can I read you any scriptures?" And instead of saying yes, I don't know if he misunderstood me, but he quoted a scripture, and he said, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me shall never die." And then he fell right asleep. And I was like, wow, what a guy. So, you know, I had 3 wonderful last days with him, and I wanted to kind of give you a window. Yes, I do think he knew that it was his last week. And but it was just those comments. It's not that he had given up trying or trying to be revived or anything, but those comments to me tell me that he knew and that his spirit was expressing that.
Thank you, Cindy. Hi, my name is Don, and I'm privileged to have been a part of the La Jolla prayer group that he, Bible study he taught, and what a wonderful man he was. And I didn't know till I got up here how hard it was to speak in such a situation, but he was a wonderful guy, and he was... I've been to that rat hole on 34th Street. It was not a place I like to see him be, as well as you, I know. But he was adamant about that, as you said. And the nice thing, and to give witness to the burden he carried for others, that I was privileged on occasion to be able to sort of help with Peter's purse so that he could distribute to others, and he would actually break down and sob when he would come to say, can you help here, can you help there? And of course, what do you say, but yes, of course. And so I wanted to say, we all loved him, and we all love you guys just because you were part of his family too. So you're part of our family too.
Tough, isn't it? I tell you. Well, Leonard, the first time I met Leonard was in Bogota, Colombia. And that's where our little friend Mercedes is from. And that poster over there, where it says, Atención Ibagué, Poder de Cristo, that poster, that was the way he looked. And when I first met him, I thought he was so handsome. I says, this guy looks like that movie star Jeff Chandler, you know. I kept telling Jack, is that Jeff Chandler in there? No, that's Evangelist, Leonard Matz. But he became a good friend of ours. And when we moved out here to San Diego and this area, we were still doing ministry down in Mexico. But Leonard came back into our lives after all these years. He happened back into our life, and we just so enjoyed our fellowship with each other, and Jack would take him down to Baja, and they would minister, and he was ministering down in home groups along in Tijuana and on further down. And sometimes Jack would help interpret for him, but he had kind of a hold on the Spanish language too. But when he asked us, you know, where do you go to church? And we said, well, it's a little church over here in Casa de Oro, Living Springs. And he said, well, mind if I come on? I said, we'd love for you. I know they would love for you. I didn't have any idea that he would become such an integral part of this family, and as we have too. But this is such a loving, loving church. It's more than a church. It's a family. And it was a family that Leonard needed. It's a family that we needed. Our kids needed. We've been here. They've had their graduation parties here. We've had their weddings. My parents' 50th anniversary. And we just are so glad that Leonard was a part of our family, as he has been a part of this family too. And I can't add any more than what has already been said about this great man of God, except that he enriched everybody's life that he touched. And he drew each of us into a more intimate place of communion with our Father. Every one of us that he touched, he brought us into a deeper relationship of worship and fellowship, not only with each other, but in the spiritual realm with our Heavenly Father.
I know I'm cheating. I've already been up here once. Sorry. Leonard was the only grandpa I've ever had. My dad is his spiritual son. And he never had a wife, he never had any kids. but everyone who stood up, because you're like one of his sons. And he's got grandsons and granddaughters. And I just wanted to tell everyone that was here about another wonderful aspect of Len. The years he spent in Word, when he would speak at home group, when he spoke, you listened. Because when he said something, he had something to say. And I don't think I've ever met a man that who he was, not the position he was, but who he was, demanded respect. He was the most humble man, but you did not interrupt him. He was packed so full of word and truth. I just wanted to say how wonderful he was as my grandpa. I loved him. And I know that there was a word given at home group I wanted to share too. It was, the Lord said, a great man of God has left your presence. You do well to do likewise, to follow in his footsteps. So in my grieving and my rejoicing that he's finished the task of life, what I can do to honor Lynn is to follow in some remote way his footsteps.
All of us are someday going to be passing on. I have a passage here, so 2 Timothy, fourth chapter. It's, for I'm already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure is at hand. This is Paul talking. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day. And not only to me, but also to all those who have loved his appearing. I was asked to speak, to say something by a gentleman, Rod McDougall. I don't know if any of you know him. He wasn't able to be here. I've never met this man. I'm blessed by what I'm hearing about him. And I think as a drink offering, he must be a cool glass of water to the Lord, from what I'm able to understand. But Rod wanted me to tell a story. In 1966, he was a young man in Columbia, wasn't it Columbia? In which he had first met Leonard in the mission field. And he was out there doing a work, and he ran out of money, and he could not feed himself. And Leonard gave him $10. That was his story. He says, that was like $100 in those days. It fed me and it took care of me, and they've had this relationship ever since. I don't know if you've heard this story or not. But he wanted me to pass that on. And that's the part of what I was meditating on this. It was a word that you said. You know, he was asking about whether there's anything. And you said, I got it. And then you said, I want to pass it on. And that's one thing about being Christian, we never die. we pass on. For him, he's passed on to this eternity where this crown of righteousness, but we also pass on the baton. Mm-hmm. We pass on the work of God. I'm leading his Bible study. I'm continuing his work in a sense. Rods couldn't be here, but he's doing the work of God, continuing to. That's why he couldn't be here, is because he had other duties in the name of the Lord, and he wanted to be here, and he wanted to say something as to how important this man was. And so he's doing the work of God, and the work that Leonard began is being passed on. And that's what I heard your son speak just a while ago. So I think we all need to take that to heart and know that God's, and we don't know how long we have on this planet. It's going to be a short time, I think, before the Lord returns. But the things that we've received from him, I think I've received a real blessing here, just getting to know the man. And I feel like I've had a cool glass of water. Thank you.
Yes. Sure. Even if it's long.
This is. I've just been thinking about this because we're from different aspects of his life. Some of us from Living Springs, some from the Carlson's home group, and some from his La Jolla group, and others, you know, from Mexico and South America, whatever. But I hope all of you will stay to eat with us. And because we all knew Len, but maybe we saw him all from a little bit different perspective, having been a part of different groups. And I would just ask, because we are all his brothers and sisters in the Lord, that we could just take this opportunity to become better acquainted, and to that there would be more depth.